The decision to prevent the sale of Loch Inver Station is raising fears about how that move will be perceived by foreign investors. Yesterday, the government set aside the Overseas Investment Office's recommendation to allow Shanghai Pengshan to buy the 13,800-hectare sheep and cattle station northwest of Napier.
The Minister for Land Information, Louise Upston, said they didn't believe the sale would be of substantial benefit to New Zealand.
Another alternative New Zealand purchaser would be most likely to convert that to dairy as well. So in terms of export receipts, that's not over and above or in addition to what a New Zealand purchaser would have done. And that's why the benefits overall were small and not significant enough for us to approve the purchase of up to nearly 14,000 hectares of sensitive land.
Well, Waikato University Professor of Agribusiness Jacqueline Roeth and Bryce Wilkinson from the New Zealand Initiative are on the line. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jacqueline, let's come to you first. You don't think there's any gain to New Zealand?
There wasn't proven additionality, but I do think this is a comment about the government being damned whatever it does. But to prove additionality, the group would have needed to have shown extra market access or maybe some training benefit in New Zealand. And if they'd stayed with sheep and beef quite clearly, then they could have been making the suggestion about training, because we know we need more shepherds and beef people. And Smedley and Waipoa, the two places that really do the training on farm, are thoroughly oversubscribed. So it could have been done. And you could make the point that 88 million is going to be more additionality than anybody in New Zealand could pay. But I repeat that government is damned whatever it did.
Bryce, what is your view here? Do you think that the right decision's been reached?
No, economically, the argument is a nonsense. And yet the government is presenting it as an economically justified decision. The crucial flaw is in the Overseas Investment Act, which ignores the prime benefit anyone gets from selling their property to the highest bidder, that is the greater price. And the difference here is potentially substantial. We've got apparently an 88 million offer on a property with a government valuation of 70 million, so that's an $18 million difference. And we don't know what a New Zealander would have bid, and that's the first smoking gun, is that no one's ever bothered to find out what the gain to New Zealand is from the higher selling price.
What do you think the gain would have been from a higher selling price? Is it just...
What it means is that New Zealanders are better off. They've got more money to invest in New Zealand or overseas. And just no respectable economical, commercial analysis would ignore the prime reason why you sell an asset to the highest bidder. It's because you get the extra value.
So, Jacqueline, is this the point then, if this can't be sold overseas to this particular bidder, that we see land prices drop?
Yeah, I am concerned about that. And that was my first point, the additionality and the extra price. And if we then say nobody in New Zealand is actually prepared to pay anything like that price, the potential for ongoing effect on the land for other people, the value of that, is quite bad. Rings, the ripples spreading out, and then the calculations from the banks saying, well, actually, your land isn't valued as much as it was, and your debt-to-asset ratio has gone wrong, and actually you need to consider selling up as well. That's my big concern.
So, Bryce, back to you. What is the message then that is sent to the Chinese, I suppose, particularly, but to other overseas investors who might be eyeing New Zealand? Is this a wise move during some global economic jitters?
No, it potentially has real costs. It shows that New Zealand is not really open for business, because the economic justification doesn't make economic sense. And there's another aspect. The decisions are unpredictable because the Act has a myriad of considerations of a secondary nature, ignoring the prime benefit, and the weights between them are arbitrary. And ministers in their decision on this case have declared that the reason they came to a different conclusion from the Overseas Investment Office's recommendation to approve the sale was that they put different weights on different considerations. So how is an overseas investor going to know what weights are going to go on which considerations next time?
A purely political decision, Jacqueline?
Ugh. But it was damned whatever it did. So, is it political? Well, I guess the elections will tell in a year's time or whenever it is. Not clear exactly why, but I'm with Bryson thinking the weightings were different, and I can see their point about additionality.
Thank you both very much for your time speaking there with Jacqueline Roworth from Waikato University and also with Bryce Wilkinson from the New Zealand Initiative.